This night is just continues to go downhill.
Acknowledge me.
About time you did something right.
Oh, see, I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Ooh, nothing. Don't get near. Ooh, I'll tell you. Ooh.
Dude, I want justice.
Does this job come with hazard pay, King?
Yes.
We got a new hit.
Yes.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Gentlemen, this is the North American Wrestling Connection at 5-1 Studios, the home of the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions semifinalist Brian Henniger. How the hell do you like that, Nikki?
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing, and
he
loved
is
every
now,
second of that.
He is now in the top nine left to go for the $250,000 and the title of tournament of winner of Tournament of Champions.
Holy crap.
That is just amazing. And, you know, couldn't have opened without a better stuff. But of course, if I may, Nikki, we couldn't have done that without a help from our sound guy.
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
Yay.
It's the Brian victory song.
Yes! We are so proud of you, man. And someone else is proud of you is our good friend from Ohio, Stat Boy Josh Henniger. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Although, seeing Brian's victory?
Oh.
After that final Jeopardy category?
That was tough. Well, it was easy if... It was tough, but if you knew the word net, well, you know, just watch it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But
hearing him say yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, you might or something like this VRM if you still have it.
Is not loaded.
That's okay. But that's okay. But Nikki, this ended a week that started about 7 hours and 7 days ago in Perth, Australia. Nikki, were you up for this?
Yes, I actually got up early. Actually, I don't think I slept that night.
Oh, wow.
But that's fine. I made myself a lovely breakfast, settled in, and enjoyed our Down Under pay-per-view.
Oh, don't you mean premium live event?
Get the fuck out.
Shut up.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
No,
thank
but
you, Mox.
Yeah, but you know what? That was a hell of a show. Everything about that show was great.
Yes. I agree. I was very impressed with the show. I had a wonderful view of it, and I just came off of Twitter, and somebody said that Triple H was trying to do one of his Iron Crosses with the seating arrangement on the floor.
No. But you had 52,000 people at the Optus Stadium in Perth. Mm-hmm. The press conference before was great. And by the way, if I never see a shoey ever again, I'll be, no.
Please no.
But, so the pre-show match had, as expected, the Kabuki Warriors defeating Candice LeRae
and Indy Hartwell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was an all right match for an opener. But then they did the women's chamber, and Nikki, I gotta tell you, I'm not gonna call her that name anymore. Tiffany Stratton is for real. She is for real.
Yeah. And I say it mostly in jest. She is a very talented performer, but I'm not saying that in the usual way I've been using it for her. Mm-hmm. She was amazing in this match. She's got a lot of upside. I'm looking forward to seeing more of her.
Yeah.
In the ring.
And if you watch SmackDown tonight, you definitely got that.
Yes, yeah, so she defeated Naomi, one of the competitors in the match with Bianca, Liv, and Raquel. And Liv got booed out of the stadium for pinning Tiffany. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, do we want to mention the whole situation with Raquel?
Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah, we do. Go ahead.
Because if I remember right, oh dear, I forget exactly what illness it was.
MCAS, which is, because I have it here because...
Mast cell activation syndrome.
That's correct, yes. And it flared up on the plane going over.
Yep. Oh no.
Which, if you didn't see her with makeup on, or without makeup on, that's the reason why.
Okay.
Because it would cause an allergic reaction, so to speak.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And, so she made it. You know, this may be a point where she may go, if this doesn't, lose her, if she doesn't get it necessarily under control. I'm not saying she would or wouldn't. Mm-hmm. By the way, do you know the Judgment Day, Dominic Mysterio got censored at the
to get the entire front row to flip you off to the point where the truck has to censor the entire broadcast.
That is also quite amazing, and I laughed very hard because I went back and watched it. I had to go back because I don't know how I missed it.
Be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be discussing that again later on.
Yeah. And of course, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where also Dominic cheated like crazy, got thrown out for on his happy ass. But Judgment Day still retained, but Pete Dunne got pinned.
I was surprised at that, because the way I see these two characters, I would think that Bate would be the one that would be making the mistakes.
Yeah.
And because that was my pick, and I only get half points. Boo.
Nobody got full points on that. Let's be honest. Nobody. Okay. Everybody got half.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Then what
Men's
else?
Men's Elimination Chamber is up next.
And I hate to say it, but the women knocked it out of the park. So they had quite a bit to follow up. You know, they had a lot to follow.
Mm-hmm. And I hate saying this. I was wrong. Wrongity wrong.
Yeah, but
I'm glad I was wrong.
Yeah, but I was right.
So was I.
Both of you were half right.
Well, I'm referring to the other right.
Yeah, everybody got the correct answer except for me. And that will be reflected in the final scores.
Hi.
Yeah, but I'm referring to the other right.
Yes. Drew McIntyre wins. Yep. Okay.
Wild card.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. You did get the wild card right. AJ Styles did wind up inserting himself, attacked LA Knight, and cost his elimination.
Very good.
So, very yeah, good. That was a wild card correct. Nicely done on that.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. But, yeah, Drew wins and is now going to go off to face Seth at Mania Night 2. We'll get to the reason why we are forced to say Night 2 later when we cover SmackDown.
Okay.
And then, of course, the end of the match saw Randy Orton nail off an RKO on Drew. Looked like he was about to win. And Logan Paul, who was still in after getting eliminated, decided to use brass knucks and knock Orton clean out.
Props to the camera crew for making Randy's RKO at that point very out of nowhere. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And props to keeping Logan out of the shot when he's just laying at the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and yes.
That whole match is now going to be leading to three matches at Mania.
Yep.
Of course, we got McIntyre Rollins. We'll have Logan Paul versus LA Knight.
You mean AJ Styles versus LA Knight.
Yeah. My brain is not here. My throat's not here either.
And Logan Paul, maybe in a triple threat match, at least.
Oh.
Based on what happened on SmackDown.
Okay, I didn't get to see all of it. I got to see a chunk of SmackDown tonight.
I came home and ran. I got here, ran into the studio, didn't even turn the TV on, so.
Okay.
So where are we now?
Just finished the men's chamber.
Yeah.
And by the way, the men's chamber, there was I don't know if you saw the photo of Randy Orton on top of Bobby Lashley. That was so well shot.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Okay. Combined with everyone, you know, reacting towards the, towards each other in the chamber. Which was interesting. But yes, hail the conquering heroine, or hero in this case, maybe.
Did you expect no less from Rhea Bloody Ripley?
No, she was a face in her home country.
Yep.
And defeated Nia Jax. And everyone's saying, oh, that's the best Nia Jax match ever. No, it was not.
No,
Rhea carried her. Of course she did.
Yeah, Rhea's got enough back that she could carry Nia through a match.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we have
the results.
Ah, yes. Go ahead.
All right. So in dead last, me 4. Yay. Jason at 5.
Ouch. Okay.
Nikki, you and Carl finished with 6.
But apparently not enough to tied 4.
Third.
Damn.
VRM, despite you getting the wild card correct, you finished second at 7 points. Yeah, the winner.
It's just an Australian night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, because with 8 points, you're new. And, yeah, you're new. NAWC Fizzleweight Champion is bad news. Bad news for all of us. It's Shane. Bad news, Beeman.
Nice.
Good on him.
Yep, the only thing he missed is the thing everybody missed. That would be Pete Dunne getting pinned.
Yeah. Mm.
And by the way, did we also talk about the Grayson Waller effect?
We have not. Mm.
No, we did not.
No, we need to go back to that.
Yeah, because Grayson Waller did come back as a hero, drank a shoey with a UFC fighter who was, I believe, Australian or New Zealand person. Okay. And then the big thing was that Cody Rhodes said that he challenges a match. He said, fine, Rock, you slap my ass. Well, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase, fuck you. I challenge you in a match anywhere, anytime. And then, of course, Austin Theory gets the couple of finishers, and everybody goes home happy, and no Australian got hurt, because of course Indy Hartwell never got the pin, but you understand what I mean. Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to flip though now to SmackDown before we go to Raw, because SmackDown A is more recent and B is more relevant. Okay.
Okay.
So. Before we even go there, The Rock posted a 21-minute video before SmackDown tonight. Okay? And I could read the transcript, but it was worthy for a couple of things, because he also bitched out Dave LaGreca of Busted Open, and he had a shit fit on Twitter too. Ooh. Okay? So basically, the show opens up with a 45-minute promo, but it was worth it. Now you say to yourself, why? Because what happens is that, first of all, The Rock comes out with the blood, the Bloodline comes out, and then The Rock comes out. And then The Rock says to Cody, well, you want me one-on-one? The Rock says no.
Ooh.
VRM. But.
But.
We have a counter offer. Mm-hmm. The counter offer is. I hope you have paused for dramatic effect. If not, that's okay.
No, that's.
All right, fine.
Hold on. Is that the right one? No, it's not the right one.
Okay.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm. We are going to propose a tag match. Rock and Roman versus Cody and your freaky clown Seth. But there's a little bit of a stipulation.
Okay.
If you guys win, the Bloodline will be banned from ringside. It'll be one-on-one, you versus Roman night two.
Well, he didn't just say banned from ringside. They'll be banned from WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
But right.
If Rock and Roman win, because of course they will, Rock says.
Yeah.
Okay. Night two will be Bloodline rules. Anything goes. The Bloodline will be there anyway. And I said, thanks for telegraphing everything, Rock.
Exactly. Yep.
Big time.
Because this is what is going to happen. Because this is obvious. Even Helen Keller can see this one coming.
Well, let's save the obvious for finishing the promo. Because because that telegraphs it even more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
Roman Rock was about to do the if you smell
grab.
Roman grabs Rock's hand.
Whoa.
Okay. And he goes, and the crowd boos. And he goes, I need you to do something for me. I need you to acknowledge me. The crowd starts chanting, no, 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 no. And Rock slowly says, and I quote, I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, as your tribal chief. Handshake, hug. Okay. But he also puts up the L again.
Yep.
For about 3 seconds, about 3 or 4 seconds, VRM.
It was very short. It was very short. It was like, I think he might have realized it and closed his thumb.
Yes. But yes. So this is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, like I said, Bloodline will win night one. And then the odds will be stacked against Cody Rhodes. Right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Rollins will come in to try and help after losing the belt to Drew, who will lose the belt to Damian Priest. Spoiler alert. Maybe. Okay. Okay. And then Rock will turn on Roman. Okay. Because Roman needs to acknowledge him as the motherfucking tribal chief, head of the table, badass motherfucker that he is. Okay. Yes. So that was that little turnabout. Go ahead.
Yeah. And again, brought this up earlier when we were talking about Dom and the front row. In the second row tonight, there was a sign. And 1997 called, they want their sign back because it said, Die, Rocky, Die.
And that wasn't the only sign.
Oh.
There was also a sign somewhere in the crowd kind of saying that Rock was doing steroids and should have been investigated with the Balco case, if you remember that.
Oh, I saw a sign that said Balco in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some combination of the sign caused Fox to say, no, black screen.
And
it ruined the promo. It ruined the flow of the promo.
Yeah, big time.
Because it kept cutting Rock off mid-sentence. So I was like, what did he...
What needs to happen is more or less blur the signs, get the feedback, post the entire promo on YouTube.
They will.
It's the only thing they can do in order to make it a lot more fair, so to speak.
Right. So it was very interesting. Also, going back on Raw, since we're heading towards WrestleMania, the opening promo basically, there was a little continuity where Nia Jax destroyed Becky Lynch as she was talking to Rhea Ripley. Then later on in the night between Liv Morgan and Nia Jax, Becky Lynch comes in, and Liv Morgan was not exactly happy with that at all. She was like, not everything is about you, Becky. And I'm like, well, kind of is right now, but all right, you know.
Yeah, I'm just picturing now that Liv is going to be standing there with Becky and Nia staring daggers at each other. And Liv's going, what about me? What about me?
Yeah, exactly. It was it was an interesting show because Sami Zayn got his mojo back. He beat Shinsuke. Which I was very happy about.
I was very surprised. I am happy. I'm happy for Sammy. I'm hoping that's going to lead to something.
We hope so. And then of course Chelsea Green was there, and Raquel came back, and then of course, very important. So Gunther basically said, who's going to face me at WrestleMania? And we're getting a lot of challengers. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're getting Dominic Mysterio. Who else are we getting? Sami Zayn. And he goes, it gets worse. I see even people requesting R-Truth. The crowd goes wild. Yeah. R-Truth, who, by the way, teams with Regeneration X, by the way. And there was a, and by the way, there was a video this week.
That video.
Okay, so he's at NXT headquarters. He goes, you know, and he's talking to someone off camera. You got a lot of Shawn Michaels potential in you. I see a lot in you. You're going to do very well someday.
Yeah, they're talking about DIY. Talking to presumably to DIY.
Right, but then you pan to the right. It's Shawn Michaels himself. And he just slowly closes the door.
Sean's face the whole is like, yeah.
Close. And then, of course, and then Andrade El Idolo might be facing Rey Mysterio as his first Raw opponent.
Ooh.
Which should be good. And by the way, New Day and Imperium beat the hell out of each other. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Imperium won.
And that actually caused a little bit of stir.
Uh-huh.
That fans were bitching that the New Day got a Raw deal. And, you know, Triple H should be ashamed of themselves. He says, if they're not happy, they can fucking go to AEW. I don't care.
Oh? That's not good. I mean, today's Big E's birthday, by the way.
Yes, happy birthday, Big E.
Big Meaty Man slapping meat. There you go. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, Drew McIntyre, who, by the way, has been so great. That promo when he sat in the middle of the ring.
He's taking Phil's line right now.
Pay attention to me!
Yeah, but in a better way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Nikki? Heels can say the right things in the wrong way. What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
They say they say the correct things the wrong way. He's not lying, but he's still an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where's the lie? There is
they're right. Where's the lie? And of course, Drew says, "Dude, stop with the fucking bloodline and focus on me." And Seth is like, you have no idea. You don't understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew does not, because there is a lot of continuity in here with Seth. As he said, you know, I've created a monster. And Seth knew that there was potential for that. Mm. I can cut back to a promo back in like 2015. Where Seth was calling Roman a volcano.
Hmm. And by the way, the rumor is that when he was talking about a busted eardrum, supposedly that was true. I don't know. I haven't confirmed that, but I've seen it in a couple of places that might have been true.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm not going to say yes or no. Okay. And some of the lines, he goes, the doctor looked at me and says, Drew, you're hurt. There's a chance you don't make WrestleMania. I said, who do you think I am, CM Punk? Nothing's going to stop me from making WrestleMania. And he goes, Punk, I know you're straight edge, so I drank both of us, enough for both of us to celebrate. And then we talked about Liv. And then, of course, the main Cody Rhodes defeated Grayson Waller. And then, of course, you had the promo at the end where Paul Heyman appeared and tried to threaten Cody Rhodes to take back his challenge or else. And he goes, or else what? Or else what, yeah. Motherfucker?
Seriously, what? Or else what? You're here by yourself. What are you going to do?
No, he's got three.
With the three quote-unquote suspended NYPD officers.
By the way, here's a Pixel Nation crossover. One of those officers was in the My Rice story from 2K19.
Really?
Oh? Yeah. WWA 2K19 My Rice Paul Heyman. Yeah. Yeah. It was I forget his name. It was very interesting.
Wait a minute. That does sound quite familiar, because one of the very few 2K games I have is 2K19.
Hold on. Let me see if I can. Because it was one of the three offers.
Wasn't it Buzz?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on.
And if that's the case, that's... Dear God, crap. What's his name?
WWE.
He was in Tough Enough. He wound up becoming Joseph Brody in the Rock promo battle deal, if I got the right person.
WWA 2K Paul Heyman.
AJ Kirsch.
That's right. Yes, right.
The creator and founder of Hood Slam.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the guy.
Yes.
All right.
AJ Kirsch, yeah.
Yeah, had things been a little bit different, he would have been in WWE proper for a lot longer. Because he was in that season of Tough Enough. Who won that? What is it, Silent Rage?
Could be.
I think it was Silent Rage, and yeah.
But, so what else was I going to say? So, yeah, there's that. Over on NXT, we had a huge return. You could say the return was a perfect 10.
So is he Ty Dillinger again, or did he come in as Sean Spears?
He came in as Sean Spears, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
His original ECW name, if you don't remember.
Okay.
Because Braun Breaker was cutting a promo, lights go out, Hooded Man comes in, he banks Braun with a chair, boom. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
He was not even listed on internal run sheets, according to Fightful.
Oh, wow.
Wow, so Sean kept it hidden.
Right. And it was interesting that Shawn Michaels had stepped in to rehearse Spears' role in the Holland. Oh, it was Ridge Holland who was doing the promo. I'm sorry. Not Braun Breaker.
Not Ridge Braun. Holland. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Hey, Ridgey.
So, he had signed a deal prior to the airing of those Three Faces vignettes. You know, because everyone thought, oh, that's Okada. No, it's Sean Spears. And he's back.
And the crowd went mild. Oh,
no, the crowd actually went wild.
Yeah. Good.
The crowd did not go mild.
No, but, that's good.
He returned. And there's going to be a big NXT show next week. It's called Roadblock. Okay.
Ooh.
That's right. Because, that's where we're headed. Just one second. Because, And that'll be this coming Tuesday. And we have five matches. Sean Spears versus Ridge Holland in a chairs match, Okay.
Okay.
Chase U versus Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin for the NXT Championship. Kabuki Warriors versus Lyra, Valkyria, and Tatum Paxley for the Women's Tag Team Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo and Tony to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship. I bet you it's going to be Tony D'Angelo because Carmelo Hayes needs to fight Trick.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
At Stand and Deliver. And then Dijak versus Joe Gacy in an asylum match. Mox knows a little about those.
Did you know I read this somewhere. Supposedly Dijak actually said, I'm going to go watch some Dean Ambrose matches.
Yes, he did. He Ooh. Did. Yes, he did. I'll find it here. Because, just give me one second. Yep, yeah, he published on 3 days ago. There's a graphic, and then he said, and I quote, "Be right back. Going to study my Dean Ambrose tapes." And I tagged Mox for it. And then somebody said, "Make sure you bring Mitch the Plant."
Yes, 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 yes.
That's not right. That's not right. It's correct.
But it's not right. Now, last Wednesday on AEW, because we do have to preview this.
Yeah.
AEW, we also need to talk about
Revolution.
Revolution and TNA's pay-per-view that was this past weekend.
Okay.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So AEW Dynamite had the final
televised Sting appearance
by Sting. Yes.
Yeah.
And he actually left in the rafters. Now, allegedly, and again, take this for what you will. He consulted with Martha Hart before he did it, and she approved it. I don't know if that's true. Would you think that would be true?
Possibility.
That's possible. And you know, it's not hard to see why.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
So the show opened with Adam in a great segment. My dad loved this segment. Adam Page was on a crutch, basically saying this ain't happening. So Swerve came out with Nana and he said, he respects everything that Paige did, and it's his time. Joe comes out. Swerve is yelling at him. Paige went, sucker, and hit him with the crutch. Not injured at all.
I love that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Then you had FTR and Eddie Kingston versus the Combat Club. Orange Cassidy versus Nick Wayne. And Atlantis Jr. versus Chris Jericho, and there was an actual explanation to it. Oh my God, you know, and he actually was Lionheart Chris Jericho for it. How you like that?
I heard about this. I have been very bad. I did not watch Dynamite this week. Mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, Lion, ooh. So he's just, you know, I feel like he's going through a Rolodex of all his different characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Mm.
But good on him.
And then, of course, Ric Flair showed up.
Oh, no, we got to talk about the.
Go for it, Fionn. You saw it.
Okay. So last week, Rick was went to the Bucks and said he wasn't happy with the way he was involved with the whole thing with Sting's retirement, and he goes in and they have a discussion. So the Bucks have been looking for Sting all night, and they've got their white baseball bats
instead of the black one.
Mm-hmm. They've been looking for Sting all night. Flair comes out. Starts cutting they cut a promo with the Bucks, and right at the end dirtiest player in the game has the dirtiest player in the game, and everybody's immediately...
No!
Because Rick starts to get physically involved.
No.
Thumb to the eye, a couple of weak chops, because old man Ric Flair is old man Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm going to use a term here.
Okay.
My suspension of disbelief was suspended.
Oof.
That low blow was just...
Well, he's so old you can't find it. I mean, really. I mean, seriously.
I mean, yes, but... Whichever one of the Bucks it was, his hand was already there for about 2 seconds before there was any kind of reaction. It was like...
Yeah.
And then the Bucks start going around the ring. They're yelling at the crowd, all the people in the Sting mask, Darby.
So it wasn't Sting in a Sting mask again?
No. Sting, but Sting will be, by the way, Sting actually came down from the rafters, as I just said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, I got the order a little wrong there. I think it was Darby. The Darby stuff was first, then came the Ric Flair stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But still, the Ric Flair stuff was like, Rick, no. Please.
For the love of God.
Yeah, we need that. We need that soundbite.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Oh, which one?
Please, for the love of God.
Oh, yeah.
Please, for the love of God, get out of the ring before they cancel the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Now, TNA had a pay-per-view on Friday, actually.
No Surrender.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing they announced is that they have signed former MLW champion...
Alex Hammerstone.
Hammerstone, yes.
Okay.
So that's pretty big.
No, yeah. You're right.
And let's see. The Rascals defeated Speedball Mountain by submission, which is Mike Bailey and Trent Seven. Okay, so Eric Young wins the shot at the TNA World Championship of Sacrifice. Let's see.
ABC PA
defeated the Grizzled Young Veterans. PCO defeated Khan. MK Ultra defeated Decay for the new day of the champions.
To get back the Knockouts World Tag Team titles, yeah.
Okay. Josh Alexander defeated Simon Gotch, who, by the way, got his contract extended. Mm-hmm. And that was a little weird.
I'm a little surprised.
Mm-hmm.
The Moose defeated Alex Shelley with no surrender rules for
it's a throw in the towel match.
Okay.
Okay.
Jordan, go ahead.
No, I said okay.
Oh, okay. What was it?
Jordan Grace
defeated Giselle Shaw and Nikki Mustafa Ali in Mustafa in Ali We Trust. Is now the new X Division champion.
Yes.
And
he
now,
deserves it.
Yes, he does. You know, do you like his presidential campaign gimmick?
Well, it falls under the you've done worse.
True. Very
and,
true.
Given the field for 2024, I'd probably vote for Ali first.
Yeah.
I might write him in.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like it. I mean, he's, you know, he, it gets him, it gets, he's allowed to expand his character and kind of introduce people to, you know, to what he is and not just look at the name and say, oh, terrorist. But no, I think that's a pretty cool idea. If you can, if you know, it's definitely not a Bob Backlund thing, but
and by the way, just off of many things right now, just sort of other news items. One, an appearance by Samantha Irwin on I Can See Your Voice has resurfaced on TikTok, by the way.
Oh.
Where the woman thought she couldn't sing. Oops.
Mox, take care of that.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, Johnson, now before, this is not, okay, I want you to have a certain button ready, but it's not what you think. Okay?
Okay.
John Cena has an OnlyFans account.
Yep.
I hope you have that button ready.
I know what this is for.
Me too. It is funny. No, I was thinking the brain bleach one, but okay.
I was gonna go try and time it to do ball.
Okay. But it's not what you think, because he says, oh, I'm gonna show you my cream pies, playing with my meat, you know, things like that. But it's
double entendres.
There's all double entendres for the movie Ricky, because he's playing Ricky Stenicki. I think that's the Amazon movie coming out very soon. What he's doing, I subscribe because it's doofus. Like he says, I'm showing you my cream pie. He gets a pie in the face. Okay. He plays with his blue balls, and there are, well, blue balls, you see.
Okay. I have a feeling I need to play another button here, even though said person is not involved here, just because I don't have any button that says doofus in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You're right. It is. It's absolute doofus, but you know what? It's funny. It's funny.
It's dumb funny, and
yes, and seen as the king of dumb funny.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of dumb funny, there was another report about Acme versus Coyote this week.
Oh boy.
Okay. That it is not going to be shown.
They're writing it off. Warner Brothers, we need to give Warner Brothers respect, I think, at this point.
Respect they deserve.
One second, can I just read it before you do it?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Will Forte said in a statement, and I quote, okay, and I have to read you the statement because it's just sad. Okay, he says, to the cast and crew of Coyote v. Acme, I know that a lot of you haven't gotten to see a chance to see our movie, and sadly, it's looking like you never will. When I first heard that our movie was getting deleted, I hadn't seen it yet. So I was thinking what everyone else must thinking. This thing must be a hunk of junk, and then I saw it, and it's incredible. Super funny throughout, visually stunning, sweet, sincere, and emotionally resonant in a very earned way. As the credits rolled, I just sat in there thinking how lucky I was to be in a part of something so special. That quickly turned to confusion and frustration. This was the movie they were not going to release? Look, when it comes to Hollywood business stuff, I don't know shit about shit. Even when a movie tests very well, like ours, there's no guarantee it's not going to be a hit. At the end of the day, the people who paid for this movie can obviously do whatever they want with it. That doesn't mean I have to like it. I fucking hate it or agree with it. And it doesn't mean that this movie is anything less than magnificent. You would be so proud of it. A movie that should be seen but won't. Please, after all the years and years of hard work, dedication, and love that you put into every movie, put into this movie, shows in every frame. That's all, folks. Will Forte. Roman, do your thing.
Seriously. This is the respect you show me. Enough. Solo!
Oh, my God.
Oh! Undisputed Stand
forever.
Zaslav can go seriously.
If it's such a fantastic, yeah, sorry.
Zaslav can go fuck himself. But go on.
If it's such a fantastic movie, put it in the damn theaters.
But
let us decide that.
Yeah. David doesn't want to. He's more concerned about money. When he would have gotten more money than he ultimately will get back in a tax credit. And he said no.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Seriously, he will make 10 times that. Put it in the theater on the first day.
It'll make more than any of the later. It'll probably make a lot more than some of the more recent Marvel movies.
Yeah.
But of course, that's probably half the reason why is because it's not because the Hollywood political agenda.
Boo.
Oh, and Go ahead. No,
go ahead. Jason, go first.
Okay. I also forgot to talk about how Logan Paul is such a beautiful dick.
Oh? Brian Bleach!
No, not that he has one. He is one.
No. The picture. Thank you for reminding me of the picture with him in the U.S. title in the shower.
No, not that one.
What? No, I don't want to see it. No.
What happened was, is like, after Logan Paul was eliminated, he goes, oh, my back, it hurts. I can't move. After, you know, he got RKO'd out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Randy Orton is about to pin Drew McIntyre. I think it was Drew McIntyre.
It was Drew, because it was the last part of the match.
Yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden, Paul comes in, hits him with the Nux, and Drew pins him, right?
Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad on Rampage.
Yeah, I just saw that. It was a bad spot. So, and then the referee goes, I knew you were. You tricked me. I didn't trick you. He goes, I knew. He goes, I tricked you. Well, maybe I tricked you, but it was great. It was. Paul is such an asshole. And by the way, LA Knight was looking for what's his face. He was looking for AJ. He was pissed.
He was
definitely pissed. But we do need to talk about Revolution. Yes. That is this coming Sunday on pay-per-view.
Before we talk about Revolution, why don't we talk about numbers?
Oh yeah, because and this is the first TKO numbers, right? You have the numbers, okay. Don't you?
Yes, we had the first TKO annual report came this past week. And in that report, let me get the not the report itself, but let me get the presser for it.
Mm-hmm.
Full year report. So the highlight numbers. UFC revenue increased 13% to $1.3 billion, with a live event revenue increase of 34% to a record $168 million. After 43 events, which generated quote unquote significant viewership gains and set several all time records for gross revenues, sponsorship increases, and of course, UFC's 30th anniversary. The WWE segment had total domestic viewership increases, and hour increases of 25 and 22% respectively. Attendance increased 34%. Of course, the deal with Netflix that was just announced. So TKO's target numbers. They are targeting a total revenue for the fiscal year 2024 of $2.575 to $2.65 billion.
With a B, folks.
With a B. Yes, I there's the cha-ching. Here comes the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So total revenue of the company increased to $1.7 billion. That is the aforementioned $1.3 billion from the UFC segment, as well as, and here's an important qualifier, $382.8 million of revenue from WWE for, here's the qualifier, for the period from September 12th to December 31st. Very important qualifier, because remember, the merger didn't happen until September, officially.
Right. So we don't really know what's going to happen, or in fact, we're not going to know the effect of the merger until 2025, numbers-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the full effect.
I was going to say, wouldn't we be seeing that at the end of the next quarter?
Potentially.
So the first quarter report will probably have significant between the first quarter, and I think the bigger one is going to be the second quarter, because that's where WrestleMania is going to land in terms of the numbers.
Right.
Hmm.
Now, do we know what the gate was for WrestleMania last year?
I'm gonna have to do some live research on that.
I'll do that while you.
All right. Of course, there is one line or one segment of this report that is also important to talk about, and that's the stuff regarding Vince.
Ah, yes.
So, important notes out of this is number one, with Vince being removed, Ari has, as of the 22nd, stepped in as the new chairman of the board. There is a new position on the board for the independent directors, the lead independent director, that is Stephen Koonin. And then that there are certain liabilities that Vince is paying the company out of pocket. There is about $3.5 million on the table, two of which has already been paid for that last quarter period since the merger. This not only costs, these costs aren't simply for like the legal matters, but they're also for all of the administrative and expense matters for said merger.
So okay. How much did Vince have to pay?
$3.5 million.
So he bought them off too.
No, he's just paying expenses for now.
I'm lightly referring to his, paying people to keep quiet, because the $3 million was the approximate.
The $3.5 million is the business for the transaction and the merger. There's also $5.8 million separately, which he has reimbursed the company for all of the investigations and et cetera, and it's considered a capital contribution.
Okay. Interesting.
So the gate, by the way, was $21 million over two nights.
Sounds about right.
So, we're gonna get more than that. And and McIntyre is also teasing that that Broken Dreams is going to come back too.
Huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like that. Would people cheer that, or is he, Is he heel enough that it won't work? If you know what I mean.
Okay.
Okay, now we can go to Revolution.
Yeah, okay. So okay. we have 9 matches for the card, plus okay. And yeah. Of course, due to injury, the meat scramble has been postponed. So you have, it's an all-star scramble match with a winner receiving a future world championship match. It's Jericho, Wardlow, Hobbs, Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin.
Now note, okay. This is not the Magnus you're used to.
No, it's the CMLL match.
Yes, CMLL's Magnus, all formerly known as Astro Boy.
Okay.
Okay.
Or okay. One of the many Astro Boys, let's be honest.
Right. And then we have FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club. That's the Mox and Castagnoli match, which should be great.
Yes. Okay.
Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship.
Same fucking promo again.
Okay. Here's a couple of match sealers, though. Osprey versus Takeshita. Okay. Then you have Eddie Kingston defending the Continental Crown Championship with Brian Danielson, and if Brian Danielson loses, he has to shake Kingston's hand. Which I think he's going to do because Kingston's awesome, you said.
Yes, Kingston deserves that.
Mm-hmm. Timeless Toni Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo for the World Championship. Now, the gimmick is good, but is it too early for Purrazzo? I think so.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah.
I'd say let the feud build continue until double or nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Cassidy versus Strong for the International Championship. Cassidy should keep it still. He's awesome. But yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if
Kingdom starts taking some titles.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now. And then, of course, in the semi-main, Samoa Joe is going to defend against Paige and Strickland. Do not be surprised if they make Swerve Strickland the champ here. Or do you wait till Double or Nothing?
Don't know. It could go either way.
But Strickland is going to be your champ very soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner than later, yes.
Mm-hmm. And in your main, Sting and Darby Allin with Ric Flair defending against the Young Bucks. Now, and this is Sting's last match. Now, I have a question for you. How do you book it?
First, you find a way to get Ric Flair thrown out.
Okay. Yeah.
Sting deserves to go out with his head held high.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the Young Bucks, as always, deserve to go out like a bitch.
The problem is, I don't trust them.
Yeah.
I honest to God don't trust them. I almost don't want to see this match. Because if Sting loses...
I'm not paying for it.
Yeah, no, nor am I.
I ain't. So,
because, as I've mentioned before, and I'll mention again, the Young Bucks are channel changers.
Yeah, they are.
Because the gimmick they're doing, I've dealt with way too many years at Walmart. Garbage tier management. And they think they're being so cute. They think they're being heels. No. You're essentially driving people away, and not in a good way. Please, for the love of God, get off my TV screen. Now.
We also have... Oh! Seth and Becky played Hot Ones, a dual hot. What was it called? Hot Ones
versus. Hot Ones versus, yes.
And Seth was challenged to say three nice things about CM Punk. He ate a wing. I guess it was shot before the injury. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, no, even if he, you know, even if this was after Punk's injury, I still see it because Seth is, you know, I can't say something nice, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like that because first of all, that's probably real. Second of all, you know, it works into the story when Punk comes back.
So Becky has her book signing next month. That will be starting. Let me get this. Because Ronda Rousey also has a competing book tour as well. She's got a book out called Our Fight, which is coming out around the same time. There's going to be 6 stops all on the East Coast on March 26th at 12:30 here in New York at Barnes & Noble. March 27th at Bookends, you know, that's where every wrestler signs their book. March 28th in Washington, D.C., March 29th at Madison, Connecticut, April 2nd in Philly, and then April 13th in L.A. So there's that. And then the Ronda Rousey book tour starts, it starts April 2nd. In New York and runs through April 21st in Los Angeles, visiting Massachusetts, Connecticut, Philadelphia, Columbus, Ohio, Nikki.
No, I need Becky, not Rhonda.
Yeah.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, West Hollywood, and Las Vegas, and then La Jolla, and then Los Angeles in 3 weeks.
Boo! Boo!
Boo?
Yeah.
All right.
I want Becky.
Well, you may need to also save your ducats a little bit, Nikki.
Oh?
Yep.
There is a hot rumor that SummerSlam may be a couple hours away from you. Cleveland.
Oh, I wish I had that from Ian's soundboard.
Well, Cleveland. Fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland. Right?
Yeah.
Still Cleveland. Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone.
So yeah, the rumor is that SummerSlam will be in Cleveland. They're gonna do a special Gunther only celebration in Austria for his reign. And I heard SummerSlam's gonna be in Minneapolis. That's what I've heard.
SummerSlam?
I mean, WrestleMania 41, excuse me.
Okay.
Hmm.
They'd have to have it indoors, and I know they have one of those, I
mean,
so...
Yeah, U.S. Bank, I mean...
The U.S. Bank Stadium is actually really nice. I did go there. Somebody brought me there for a Vikings game.
Mm-hmm.
And... there isn't a bad seat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think I'm going to put the money together to go out to Minneapolis because I wish I'd hit the lottery so that I could go to Philadelphia.
Someone is in the semifinals of the Tournament of Champions. Maybe he can take you. Who knows?
Yeah. He's guaranteed at least 10,000 more.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who knows? And put on. Go ahead.
And who knows what happens from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, I actually do, but I'm not going to spoil because he'd kill me. So.
Yes.
But congratulations, Brian. I think we've gotten everything we needed.
We got the sad news.
Oh, that's yes. Right. Yeah.
We have some bad news.
Three of them, actually.
Yep.
Okay, so we got our three. Good.
Well, not good.
Not good, but...
Not good. I'm just saying that things happen in threes. That's the only reason it's
good. Yeah. The first one was Ole Anderson. And one of the original members of the Four Horsemen, I believe, correct?
Yes. That is correct. Passed away at the age of 81. Unfortunately, will also be remembered as super racist.
Oop.
Really? Yeah, he had a very nasty tendency to say words you cannot say on this podcast.
Yo,
and essentially kind of deride him, too.
Oh, great. Well, again, remember, Old South, different story.
Yep.
You know, you can't say those things on TV no more.
It was, but
Again, now the original Four Horsemen were Arn, Rick, Ole, and
Tully, with JJ as their manager.
Okay.
How many different iterations were there? Good grief.
Five or six minimum? Because there was the era when Lex Luger was there. There was the era when Sting was kind of sort of there, and Barry Windham was too.
Paul Roma for a hot cup of coffee, too.
Yep. That would have been the end of the original run.
He who people don't like to talk about was in there for a bit, too.
Yep, that was afterward. That was during the second iteration. Him, Pillman, Mongo, all of which were in the Horsemen at some point.
Well, here we go. Here we go. According to Wikipedia, the original were correct. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. Okay. Lex Luger was the first replacement in 87.
Yep. He replaced Ole.
Okay. Then you had Adam, okay, as you said. Sting, Sid Vicious, Paul Roma for literally 6 months. Literally 6 months.
Yep, that was 92, 93? 93
to 93. May to December, literally. Brian Pillman, Chris Benoit, yes, I'll mention his name. Steve McMichael, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to make very much longer. He was in the hospital with pneumonia. He does not look good at all by any stretch.
As far as I know, he was able to get out, though, so who knows?
Indeed. Then Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Hennig, and then Dean Malenko.
Right.
Okay. And some of the people who were associates were War Machine, Hiro Matsuda, Kendall Windham, Butch Reed, Michael Hayes, and David Flair. And the manager and the valets were, as you said, J.J. Dillon.
Woman.
I'm getting there. Baby Doll and Dark Journey. As you said, Hiro Matsuda, woman, right? Miss Elizabeth, Fifi. Okay.
Rick's current wife.
Wendy Barlow. Right. Deborah McMichael, Bobby Heenan for a cup of coffee, Charles Robinson, Double D, a Ric Flair nurse with big boobs. And Samantha and Tori, who was Tori Wilson.
Okay, so Dee Dee must have been a knockoff of BB in WWF.
Correct. And, so there's that. So, yeah. So, but again, Ole Anderson, one of the original members of the Four Horsemen, passing away. Then we get to one who was actually the saddest one of the week. Mike Jones, or Michael Jones, who you might have known as Virgil of the WWE in a bunch of iterations, passed away this week at the age of 61. Now, over the last couple of years, he was not in very good shape at all. He had a stroke, and he had dementia as well.
I didn't know.
And he also said he was diagnosed with stage 2 colon cancers and more strokes. He had two more strokes in February 5 days before he died. He died at the age of 72, I believe.
61.
61. He was not died in 51. He was born in 61, right?
Yes. Or he was born in 63. He was relatively young.
Yeah. But.
Or 62, you know, 63, somewhere in there.
So he was, for the most part, he was known for one role, and that was Virgil, the Million Dollar Man's bodyguard, butler, and otherwise stooge. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And most known for a segment was on the Challenger, the either Wrestling Challenge or Wrestling Superstars, where either he kicked a basketball, did DiBiase kick the ball, or did Virgil kick the ball?
DiBiase.
Yeah.
Okay. But he would, you know, pay off people to get DiBiase better seats, push people around. And when he turned against DiBiase, I actually have a story about Virgil for you. Well, I've met Virgil a couple of times at conventions, mm-hmm. but my very, very, very first wrestling match that my dad took to me at Madison Square Garden was a cage match between DiBiase and the Macho Man Randy Savage, where I believe Macho Man was the champ at the time. Okay. And Virgil was trying to climb the cage to get in, and this kid literally had to be restrained to get off the cage because he was climbing after Virgil. 8-9-year-old kid. I remember seeing this. The crowd went absolutely crazy. Remember, this was 1989 at the time. This was, you know, almost 40 years ago, 35 years ago now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but yes, once he turned on DiBiase, it was, unfortunately, the best and worst of times, because he never recovered from that, really.
Yeah.
Nope.
Because, you know, booking had nothing for him. It was like, in a way, the same way as when Mizdow, when he broke away from The Miz, Damian Mizdow.
You yes. know? Oh, I can. I'll give you another one too. Test.
Yep.
Okay. When Hunter stole Stephanie, they didn't have anything else for him.
Yeah, and he never recovered from that.
Nope.
Never recovered from that at all. The third one, Josh, you may have this one. This is an older one.
Yes, and part of a massive wrestling family.
Right.
Paul the Butcher Vershawn.
Okay. Related to Luna?
Yes, if I remember right, okay, I forget what it is exactly. Paul Vashon, the Vashon family. Luna's stepfather is the Butcher.
Oh, okay, all right. He was 86.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did he do?
Well, he was a longtime Canadian wrestler. He didn't do a bunch, but that's because, well, yeah, he was largely just a tag guy.
Okay.
Wound up winning the AWA World Tag Team Championship alongside his brother, the Mad Dog, if you remember that. And then he also wound up wrestling for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling as spoiler number 2. And then ultimately retired by the mid-1980s. Though he was in WWF for a hot sec, he wasn't there too long.
No, it's okay. He's fine.
And then, yeah. He winds up just kind of doing other things and stuff and trying to run for our Canadian Congress with the New Democratic Party. That didn't do him so well, because that was around the point when things started falling apart, maybe. I don't know. I just don't with that. But because it's Canadian politics, and I don't know a thing about Canadian politics.
That's don't okay, worry, you're not the only one.
But he's had several brushes with cancer over the years. Colon cancer in the 90s, throat cancer in the early 2000s.
Right.
But ultimately, he made it to 86.
Not bad. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, let's do some plug-ins here, because we actually have to talk to the Chief High Muckety Muck. We're doing a little bit of a reorg, as we talked about this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, let's do some plug-ins. Let's start with you, VRM. What are you doing on iRacing?
Well, it is Vegas Baby Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's not the important thing. The important thing is going to be what's coming up next week, and that is the debut of Rain. They have scaled the model Rain into iRacing.
Nice. Okay.
So things are going to get very fun on the road courses. In fact, there is a community race, the Team i5G community race. I haven't seen what time it is yet. But they are going to be doing IMSA cars at the Charlotte Roval. It is going to be chaos because they are going to be setting up the worst possible weather conditions the game will allow for.
All right. Just to let you know, that will be this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's not the only thing racing related that I've got done, because while I may not be going to Mania and not going to be able to watch Double or Nothing, because I am going to one of the Memorial Day Triple Crown races.
Which one are you going to? Indy or Charlotte?
I'm going to Indy.
Oh, damn. Okay. Now, do you actually have tickets?
I have tickets. I have my hotel. I have my flights.
Okay. I have a recommendation for you. Okay? You want the best glazed donuts in the United States? Are you a donut fan? No. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
Well, it would be better served for that. It's for me for the first weekend I'm going to Indy, because this is actually going to be my second trip to Indy that month.
Okay, you mean your Pokemon tournament there?
Yes, we have a Pokemon tournament at the start of May.
Okay, then you should look for something called Long's Donuts.
Long's Donuts, as it sounds?
As it sounds, L-O-N-G-S Donuts, okay?
I will take that under advisement then.
Yes, you. It is. It's called Long's Bakery. It is actually. I've had it. They're very good donuts. But anyway,
is it downtown near Lucas Oil or?
It's actually in the Hawville neighborhood, right by the Motor Speedway.
Okay, so it's right by the track. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it now. He's right. It's right down the street.
Hmm.
I'd recommend a sushi place, but it's gone.
What was it called?
Mikado's.
Okay. But so you'll go into that. You've got a Pokemon tournament. Speaking of Pokemon, are they doing a bunch of remakes?
No, it's not a remake. It is this is Pixel Nation news. We have a new game coming. Pokemon Legends ZA.
Okay.
It is the combination sequel to Pokemon Legends Arceus, and finally the third game of the XY trilogy, technically. Okay. Although supposedly rumors say it's going to take place entirely within Lumiose City.
That would be a little silly.
It would be. But I imagine because of the whole quote-unquote redevelopment plan, it's going to be more open than people are thinking it is. If the trailer is to be believed.
And also, there's some wild rumor out there that it's going to be for more than just the Switch proper. But I don't believe it.
Yes, and there's almost rumors to be a Switch 2 coming up. But we'll talk about that at another time. Because our chief high muckety muck is waiting for us. Yes. So, very quickly, any news on Knickknacks and It Was a Thing?
Finally, yes. Knickknacks, new episode is out. Clarissa explains it all. Next episode out, episode number 101, is The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh, wow, that's a big one, too.
Yeah, it's nothing but bangers in 1991.
Mm.
And then, for It Was a Thing on TV, the standard fare of two episodes, Charlie and Company, which was an attempt by CBS to capitalize on the success of The Cosby Show. It didn't do well. And The Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley, which was a Martin Short-led cartoon on NBC in the late 80s. Coming up next week, an unknown episode for Tuesday, and Days Like These, which they're starting the Lost in Translation block again for 2024, and it was something on TV. Days Like These is a British version of That 70s Show. It failed miserably. But you'll find all about that.
Hold on one second.
What?
I'm not sure what happened here.
Nor am I. Seriously, I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, I got to go. I'm sorry, a little emergency here.
Talk to you later. Oh, okay. See
ya. Go ahead, Jay.
But you can find all of that on itwasathenontv.com as they keep heading towards 100,000 downloads.
Yay.
Yep. All right. Okay. So, Nikki?
Yeah, I'm getting to my artist shout-outs, especially to our panelist, Jamie Claudier, who has found new life with her art. She stepped away from drawing Seth Rollins, and she's been doing all sorts of stuff based on a cartoon called Has-Been Hotel.
Oh, yes.
And apparently all of that artwork is blowing up on Twitter and Instagram. She's flipping out. She's like, how is this happening? I don't know the show very well, but I've seen stills and I've seen her artwork. It is very accurate. It's very well done, but we expect that from her.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Obligatory shout out to Oniwan Bashu. I know she still has a Ko-fi account. She got her card account set up for commissions. Do look her up. She does wonderful work. She's not cheap, but trust me, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. If you like anime with your wrestling, you look up Nahua Tahes and Otanad. Otanad is more prolific on Instagram and does a lot more anime-related stuff. Nahua Tahes has a couple of different art styles. If you commission him, he's not that expensive, and the turnaround is really quick. Excuse me. Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby on Twitter. Somebody else who has wonderful, wonderful artwork. Little on the expensive side, but again, worth it. Worth every penny. Check out his stuff. Let's see. If you are a fantasy, sci-fi, horror person, you need to find Sal V. Cloak at The Dark Cloak. Wonderful man, wonderful work, H.R. Giger level art. I'm sure he's looking for commissions right now. And if you want to learn more about him, he does have a Twitch channel I think he still does Wednesday nights where he draws and we solve all the problems in the world. So if you want a wrestler who's an artist, you check out Tapla. She is the infamous artist of all of the Mbacha Mania headshots, including the, but I digress, of Botchamania. Somebody else that you can definitely check out. She's usually got her commissions open, and her rates are reasonable. I don't mean to do that. Mm-hmm. Also, for the Supercard people, the new Battle Pass started today, and it's that bitch. The first Jade Cargill card.
Hmm.
I talked somebody on my team into exchanging Battle Pass, so I will have Jade Cargill in my collection. So I look forward to that. But I really don't have anything else because I'm right here. So for the already departed Jason Block, for Stat Boy, for VRM, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week. We will continue our road to WrestleMania.